Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, on August 12th, we had what was called a microburst. We experienced a microburst here in town. We got over 10 inches of rain in 3 hours, and that was on top of what we already had as a high water table. So that water just didn't have anywhere to go. And so our former pastor reached out to me. Some church members had reached out to him. And, you know, I got some phone numbers and started calling people, and they were, you know, distraught. They were basements were flooded. They weren't able to keep up. They were asking for help, people to come and help bail them out of their basements. And the fact was, you couldn't even get anywhere at the time. The streets were so flooded that you couldn't go to help anybody if you wanted to, because you would have just been stranded anyway. And at that time, I realized that it was a bigger problem than we've faced in the past. And one of the resources we have is disaster relief, Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. But I reached out to the Illinois chapter, IBSA Disaster Relief, and reached out to them. And they got in contact with the Emergency Management Services, the fire chief here in town. He was in charge of the Madison County Emergency Management, and assessed the situation and see exactly what needed to be done. At that time, the Emergency Management Services told the teams to stand down, not to try and come into town, because you couldn't get through because the streets were so flooded that you couldn't get anywhere. You may have seen on the news, one of our church members was actually riding up and down the street with his kids in a John boat, you know, because the street was so flooded. And, you know, so the next day we had a meeting at City Hall. The waters had somewhat receded, but we did get more rain that following night. So a lot of parking lots, a lot of streets were still flooded, but you were able to get around at least. So we got to City Hall. There was the mayor and aldermen and, you know, emergency management, the fire chief, police department were there, representatives, and IBSA sent their IC, their incident commander, down to be a part of this meeting. And thankfully, Vince Martinez, who's our fire chief, answered the call from IBSA Disaster Relief, and he said during the meeting, he said, I'm so glad I didn't hang up on you guys, because he didn't know, you know, if they were real. He had not heard of them or anything. But anyway, it was a stressful meeting. There was a lot of ideas. People didn't really know where to go, what direction, where to start. And the IC incident commander, he stood up and he said, let me introduce myself. My name is Dennis Felix. I'm the incident commander for Illinois Baptist Midwest Region Disaster Relief. He said, we're part of Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. He said, we're the third largest disaster relief organization in the country. He said, next to Red Cross and Salvation Army, he said, we're the third largest. And we respond to all types of disasters, whether it's earthquakes or, you know, hurricanes or anything like that. I don't know if you heard about the Aurora school shooting up in near the Chicago area back in February. They called chaplain teams up there to that, you know, to comfort people and to counsel people at that time. So there's all types of different disasters that they respond to. But he said, you know, we're the third largest disaster relief organization in the country, and this is not our first rodeo. This is what you guys need to do. You need to set up a mark. You need to contact these different agencies. And so we set up what was called a MARC, a Management Agency Resource Center, at the high school that Saturday and Sunday, which would have been the 18th and 19th, I believe. And at that, there was, you know, Illinois Southern Baptist Disaster Relief was there, United Way, Red Cross, Illinois Association of Realtors were there to talk to people about loans and things like that. The Illinois Department of Insurance, so people had a lot of questions about, you know, where do we go, what's going to be covered, what do we need to say and do. Madison County Health, there were a lot of government agencies and a lot of other agencies that were there, so that everybody that needs help can go there and get all this information at one time and sign up for help at all these different areas. But it's also IBSA, they use that as a reference point to assess whether they need to make this a nationwide call out, or if it's just something they need to call out to teams within the state to come and help with. But because there was such an overwhelming response, there was over 800 people that came those 2 days to the high school and asked for help 450 of those asked for help with cleanup with their basements, what we call mud out. And that's taking everything out of the basement, cutting out drywall, insulation, paneling, taking it down to the bare wood, however high the water got, and they usually go a foot or two above that. And then they pressure wash everything and they treat for mold. And so, you know, 450 people signed up for that. And because there were so many people, they made a nationwide call out. And because they did that, there are chapters of Southern Baptist Disaster Relief with every state. So all teams from all states all over the country came in and stayed at our facility here while they assisted with cleanup in the Granite City area. So we had teams from North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Ohio, Texas, Indiana, Michigan, so there were Missouri, and right here in Illinois. And we had an overwhelming response from other organizations like the American Baptist Association. The Methodists came and helped with teams. People from Catholic churches, all religions, people that were not religious, even came and helped and volunteered, you know, in ways that they could go out with the teams. You know, the teams that were specifically in the field are trained for whatever position they're involved in, whether that be mud out or chainsaw teams or chaplaincy or cooking and shower facilities. There's all different types of things, but you don't have to be trained in order to help serve. So all they had to do was come in and sign a waiver saying that they were operating under their own insurance if something were to happen, and fill out a health form to keep on them in case something happened on the job site and there was an emergency. They would have something that showed their medications or their allergies, things like that. And so once that was, you know, once those are filled out, anybody can volunteer or could volunteer. And so we did get an overwhelming response from our community and from our area and from other people that came in and helped. And so it was just a blessing to see how God works in these disaster situations. You know, it was a disaster. There was a lot of rumors going around, a lot of misinformation, a lot of negativity, and rightfully so. You know, one thing that they told us to make sure, you know, when we drive down a street and we saw big piles of what we would say was garbage or trash laying in somebody's front yard where they had pulled out of their basement, they made sure to tell us that, you know, that's not garbage or trash. That's people's lives. That's, you know, stuff that they've had stored there. That's their memories, their pictures, their cards, their, you know, their memories from what they've stored for their whole lives is in the front of their yard. So it's not trash and garbage, and we need to make sure that we don't refer to it as that, you know, for that reason. And so, you know, these mud out teams would come in and do exactly what I described before and help people out, you know, and they would send assessors out, assess the situation, see what the priority was. You know, they designated priority 1, 2, or 3 for each home, depending on whether it was elderly, people that were disabled, or people that had small children. And those were the people they tried to help first. And then they would have a priority 2 and a priority 3. And they would also assess what size the job was, whether it was a small job, a large job, a medium-sized job, depending on how much stuff needed to come out of the basement. And they also see, you know, one thing that we saw in Granite is a lot of foundations that were collapsed. And so if there was a wall of the foundation that was collapsed, you know, they would report to the city and they would have to say, you know, we can't do that house because of the safety situation. You know, that house could come collapsing on top of us, so we can't do that house. So unfortunately, there were incidents where they did have to, you know, turn people away. But for the most part, they helped everybody that came. And at the same time, there were a lot of people in our city that did the cleanup themselves. You know, flooded streets and flooded neighborhoods are not any, flooded basements are not anything new to Granite City, but they use a chemical called Shockwave, and that's something they got from Dow Chemical. They went to Dow Chemical specifically and said, we need something when we're doing these mud out situations that we can spray around that helps kill mold. You know, bleach will kill mold on the surface. You know, it is something that you can use, but it doesn't keep it from coming back. The Shockwave, they spray it around. After they clean the surfaces off, they'll spray it around, and it kills the mold, and it leaves a residue behind to help keep the mold from coming back. And people can use that themselves. It's not toxic. You know, they a lot of times they'll use a fogger. So if they fog something, they ask that people be out of the home for 4 hours because it turns from a liquid to a gas, and you know, they don't want people breathing it in. But they brought it and they set it up right here, and people, if they did their own cleaning and they just wanted the mold treatment, they came down and they could bring a garden sprayer, and they would give up to 2 gallons at a time, which is more than enough to do a basement or a house. And people could just spray it themselves. And, you know, so that was another resource that was given another benefit to our community just for the health hazard of the mold being growing, you know, on all the basements and everything like that, that people could come and take advantage of for themselves. And they did. We saw, you know, pretty much a constant flow for at least the first 3 weeks. There was somebody manning the barrels, mixing it and just filling container after container after container of the shockwave that they could go around and treat for the mold themselves.
So I'm guessing just from hearing your stories there that it helped put the homeowners' minds at ease that these people knew what they were doing.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that the first day after the meeting we had with the city, we had a assessor from Indiana come in. And we rode around and he said, you know, one thing he said, we're not used to seeing this type of situation because the city was so on top of it with getting dumpsters in place and those sort of things. A lot of people didn't have their belongings piled in front of their house. You know, they had already taken them to the dumpsters and gotten rid of them. So he said, this is a little less than what we're used to seeing. He said, when we go into a disaster area, we're used to seeing debris piled all over the place and things like that, but I'm not seeing that. But he said, also, one of the things that we do is psychological. He said, we go in, we talk to the homeowners, we make sure, yeah, we go in and we provide a service and we clean and we treat for mold. He said, but we're mainly there to comfort the homeowner and to counsel them and to help them know that, you know, this is a trying time, but one thing, we share the gospel, we can, you know, talk to them about God and what their relationship is with God. And a lot of times when we're in those situations, we feel like God's turned his back on us, or he's not paying attention, or that, you know, that, or if he's even real, you know, the question of doubt starts to enter our mind. And that's, he said, we're there to do that. You know, if I was on a site with a team, and if you're pushing a wheelbarrow full of debris out of a basement and the homeowner comes up and talks to you, you set down whatever you're doing, whether that or doing some other job, you stop what you're doing, you walk over to the homeowner, you give them your undivided attention, you make sure that you let them talk and just spend time with them however long it takes. Somebody else will come along and pick up that wheelbarrow and take off with it without even asking or anything, he said. So when you're finished, you go find something else to do. But in that process, there's not a stressful work situation created. There's not somebody yelling, hey, we need that wheelbarrow over here. We need, you know, somebody over here right now. We, you know, quit talking and get back to work or any of that kind of stuff. It's all about maintaining a peacefulness, making sure that the homeowner knows that we're there for them. And not only physically to help meet their physical need, but to also meet their spiritual and mental needs as well.
Part of what's fascinating about this, too, is I read about in your testimony about how many Bibles were given away. I'm assuming it's not you hit somebody over the head and said, here's a Bible. Through your conversation, you probably said, would you like to know more, that type of thing?
Mostly with every house that signed up for help, that they went in and cleaned up and did flood relief, whether that was tearing stuff out of the basement. There were certain homes that they just went in and treated for mold. You know, the stuff had already been taken care of, so all they had to do was go in and treat for mold and leave. But whatever it was, the teams would go in, and whether it was a team from Texas or Alabama or wherever it was, they would go to this household, and when they're finished, no matter what was done, yeah, there was always somebody there, a chaplain or somebody like that, that would be talking to the homeowner, assessing their spiritual needs, where they are with Christ, sharing the gospel, that sort of thing. But whether they came to Christ or not, or whether they were even believers, the team that was there, every member of that team would sign the front cover of a Bible. And when they were finished, all they ask, they don't take money or donations or anything like that. All they ask is that the homeowner prays with them at the end of the job. So when the job is finished, they meet with the homeowner in front of the yard, they form a big circle, they hold hands, and they say a prayer, and then when the prayer's over, they present a Bible to that homeowner with all their names in the front of it. And that was a very, very moving thing to see.
I was going to say a big hit, a keepsake, but also something that you can refer to whenever you need it.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's giving that word, you know, the word and God. You know, and one thing I prayed for and that I've said since the beginning, you know, any of our human efforts are just a Band-Aid. You know, we can help people replace a hot water heater. We can help people, you know, tear out stuff out of their basement and things like that. But it's the Holy Spirit and that relationship with God that can help us persevere through any situation we face in this world, whether it be loss, you know, our failing health, our finances, relationships. We face all kinds of challenges, but it's our relationship with God that we draw close to Him in those situations that helps us overcome.
And these folks, they weren't put up in like swanky hotels or anything. They were right here at the church, right?
They were. This church, the vision of this church for a long time has been mission-minded. They're a very mission-minded church here at Second Baptist, the congregation. And so the facilities here, we have our own shower facilities. We have the Sunday school rooms are available to be, able to be torn down and moved quickly so that we can house mission teams. And we've housed mission teams in the past. We've got, Lifeway has an organization called World Changers or P2 Missions, and they come in and they help with church plants or construction projects in surrounding areas. And other mission teams from all over the country, Kansas, Arkansas, Texas, will come in and use the church periodically. So it was nothing short of a miracle that God gave us this facility to use, and we were able to provide for them a good place for them to stay. So, I mean, they brought their own bedding and their own meals. They brought their own cooks, so they were not a burden to the church. We didn't have to have a lot of people come in to try and provide meals for all these people because we had between 50 and 70 people depending on the day or the week, because one team would come in, another team would go out, and vice versa. And so, yeah, they got to use our facilities. We've got a big kitchen facility, a fellowship hall. So they had plenty of space. They had plenty of resources here that after they worked in the heat, carrying stuff out of the basement, because this was no, you know, it's no walk in the park. It was a hard labor job, you know, that's carrying stuff out, ripping drywall out, carrying it all out, and no air conditioning usually all day long. They would work from 8 to 4. And the amazing thing, something that I found out later, we spoke with an organization here, and one of the ICs told me that the average age for Southern Baptist disaster relief volunteers is between 70 and 75 years old. So, and that's partially because they're retired, you know, their kids are out of the home and they have the time to dedicate. But the fact that someone of that age could go in and put an 8-hour day in for 10 days in a row working in harsh conditions, it just baffles the mind, you know. And then there are also jobs, you know, one of the guys that ran the kitchen facilities is in AFib. So he's not able to get out and be in the field and do the hard labor and stuff like that. But there's still a lot of supporting roles that you can do that if you're not physically capable, there's a lot of inventory, there's a lot of cooking, there's a lot of cleaning facilities and making sure that the teams, when they come in, that they've got clean clothes and that they're well supported so that they can be refreshed and ready to go out and hit it again the next day. And so it was just amazing to see the organization, how it was set up from the beginning. You know, when the incident commander came into the meeting at the city, when he said what he said, you know, this is the third largest disaster relief organization and this is what you need to do, you felt the tension leave the room. And when you were out in the field working with these homeowners and, you know, you're carrying their belongings, their livelihood out of these basements, and you're having to talk to them, you know, you need to get rid of this. It's going to be contaminated with mold. You know, I know it's your memories, you know, or sort through what you need to keep and what not to. There was a relief there. You know, those, when the team showed up and they started working, imagine this. Imagine your basement's completely flooded with street or sewer water, whatever it is. It's flooded 4 feet deep, and all your memories, all your belongings are completely ruined, and it all recedes, and you go down there, and the smell is bad, and you're trying to start think, where am I even going to start? And all of a sudden, a team of 15 people show up at your house, and by that afternoon, it's completely gutted, completely the drywall and everything else, and they're pressure washing it, drying it out, ready to come back tomorrow and treat it for mold. So within 24 hours, the problem is gone and it's taken care of. And then this team that did that, all they ask for is a prayer at the end. And so the relief that comes from that. And so, you know, when you think of disaster relief, it is a title, but there's more to it than that. It is providing relief, you know, and that's...
Do you have any numbers of how many folks came in from, you know, as a part of this effort?
I don't. I mean, I know for 5 weeks we had between 50 and 70 volunteers staying here at the church, so that would probably be anywhere between 250 and 350 volunteers that used our facilities. As far as teams, you know, the number of people that came in and helped, from other churches and things like that, I have no idea. I mean, for instance, I know that there was a lady from one of the Catholic churches here in town that came in every day and helped with laundry and shower assistance. But I'd never met her or anything like that. After they were gone, a lady came by and asked that she could get her cookie tray and a bowl back that she had left. And she was from another church here in town that had been bringing brownies and cookies and things like that for the teams while they were staying here that I had no idea. So, I mean, I know that there were certain organizations that helped, but there were people that helped that I still don't know who it is or how many it was. I know that the number of people that they helped, the number of work orders was around 435.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.